Radio Popular presents a programme by Robert Wyatt. This is the third part.
Radio Popular. Buongiorno, this is Robert Wyatt. And here are some things that I like.
Some more classics from the pre-war American popular music. Mini the Moocher, which is one of those drug songs, I think, that long before rock and roll invented drugs. They'd already been invented in the 30s. And Mini the Moocher is all about allusions to various drug culture in the States at that time. By the great Cab Calloway, I think that some people like Cab Calloway, who are very funny and very amusing entertainers, people tend to think, well, in that case, they are not very serious artists or something. This is completely wrong. Cab Calloway was a great, great artist, I think. Anyway, so Mini the Moocher. And listen, if you want surrealism, his words are surrealist without him even trying. He's just a natural surrealist. Yeah.
Minnie the Moocher, she was a red hot hoochie coocher. She was the roughest, toughest trail, but Minnie had a heart as big as a whale. Hide, 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 hide. She loved him, though he was cocky. He took her down to Chinatown, and he showed her how to kick the gong around. Hide, 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 hide. About the King of Sweden, he gave her things that she was needing. He gave her a home built of coal and steel, a diamond car with the platinum wheels. Hadi, 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 he gave her his townhouse and his racing horses. Each meal she ate was a dozen courses. She had $1 million worth of nickels and dimes. She sat around and counted them all a million times. Hide, 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 hide,
hide, hide, hide, hide. Whoa.
Well, okay, that's really hard to follow. The real showstopper, Cab Calloway, but I think Miles Davis can follow anybody, especially playing. And we're going back to George Gershwin again, another George Gershwin classic, which is Summertime. He plays with his Gil Evans, and what I like about this arrangement is it's so terse and clipped. They don't play the emotional potential of this song when they play it. It's just played straight and tight, and I think it comes over very, very powerfully in consequence. So Miles Davis and Gil Evans, and listen to the lovely clock-ticking drums on Summertime. That was Miles Davis and Gil Evans' Summertime. It's one of the illusions about art that it can be just that artists can live in harmony and peace throughout the world. It's like people think nature is all harmony, with nature is all kind of battles going on. And one of the, I saw a concert with Miles Davis and Cecil Taylor, and they were not good friends. And Miles Davis was billed to be top of the bill and play second, but he refused, and he said, I don't want anybody to have to sit through Cecil Taylor before they listen to me, so I'm going on first. And so Miles Davis played first, and Cecil Taylor played the second half. It was still a great concert. You know, you can't argue with people, you know, if they need this kind of sense of tension and so on among themselves. I know from personal experience it can help the adrenaline, you know, and so on. As long as the music comes out right, it's okay. And so now I want to play some Cecil Taylor and play it the same order that Miles Davis played it. Miles Davis first, and now Cecil Taylor. Cecil Taylor, as we know, one of the great simple sentimental ballad piano players of our time, playing a great sentimental ballad, This Nearly Was Mine. And it's nearly a tune. It's nearly jazz. It's nearly something or other, but it's not quite anything, and it's beautiful. Okay, well, this is Cecil Taylor completely destroying a nice sentimental ballad, and now he's a more affectionate picture of the past from Charlie Mingus playing a tribute to Jelly Roll Morton, but not in a way I think that Jelly Roll Morton would particularly have enjoyed. But it doesn't matter; it just moves. I find that. I was lucky enough to see Mingus several times play, and it was one of the most, each time they were the most exciting musical experiences I'd ever experienced in my life, I think, watching Mingus work. It was so alive. I hope that even over the years, some of this liveliness is projected still through the record. They used a kind of harmonic and rhythmic devices that really quite unusual in the idioms that they were using. I mean, Jelly Roll Morton is particularly very innovative, and I think one of the reasons why Duke Ellington was very paranoid about Jelly Roll Morton was because Jelly Roll Morton had some very, very advanced harmonic and technical devices at his disposal that he was using. But I think that what Mingus's tribute here is more an attempt to get past a difficult one with modern jazz, because in the early days of modern jazz, the musicians and the fans themselves were very dismissive of older kinds of music, you know, which they considered too simple and too entertaining almost. And Mingus was reclaiming the past as part of the history of great black music, you know, I think. And Mingus has been doing it all, was doing it all along, I think. He always enjoyed the whole history of the music. Thank you. Casey, in case you're wondering why some of this music is a bit old, it's because I'm a bit old, right? Okay, you understand? you want younger music, get a younger disc jockey. That's okay, it's cool with me. This is music being made at the time it was being invented, and that's always going to be new, you know. And even when he's reinventing Jelly Roll Morton, it's a completely fresh approach. I think that was Jackie McLean on alto there, Jimmy Nepper, the great trombonist, and of course Danny Richmond, the best-dressed drummer in the United States at that time. Very, very good, wonderful drummer, very underappreciated. John Handy as well, a lovely musician, also on Mingus Album and various other records around that time. One of the great bands. And as a drummer, I have to say again, Danny Richmond on drums, a beautiful drummer, wonderful drummer. Now we have this. I remember my big brother had this record on 78 records when I was a child. I just thought it was a beautiful song. I didn't know anything about it. Alfie tells me Charles Trenet was a collaborator, so fuck him. We're not going to have him singing La Mer. It's going to be sung here by Zozu Shuaibu, chosen by Steve Beresford for a whole record by Steve Beresford, a tribute to Charles Trenet. On this record, there's a connection that I have that we've only just reconnected, which is with Tony Coe. Tony Coe was the original Canterbury musician. He went to school at the same school that I did, but he left it just before I joined. And at that time, he was a traditional jazz clarinet player. Tony Coe is one of the great musicians. He can play absolutely anything at all. He's one of these people like Dave McRae, who's almost too good for his own good, because he's so adaptable that... He's easy to push around, it seems like it, except he's got such a strong voice, he's in no danger. Anyway, so here's a record Steve Beresford made with such great people, and I noticed that it's made for NATO, which is a wonderful record company. I've been also in correspondence with Jean Rochard. I can never read his writing, so I keep having to ask him. Anyway, Jean Rochard, and I think it's a really good record company, and he does a lot with Tony Coe, I know that. But I know a lot of NATO records... refer to American Indian experience, so that makes sense to me. I didn't know that. That's very good. But anyway, a good song, and this is a great version. So enjoy Steve Beresford and his orchestra, their version of La Mer.
Janjakala kogi anarubwa janjakala kogi anahadari ragu damalaika sunada kyo dalavia kogi maiki uraguna aiking Allah duwa parare susaye jajaye gidaje duwa usadarahi Dogayen kidaje Kogi Yawan kesu Kusa datiku Dawak arso yaya Kogi Yasau karda zuciya Har abada Bateku dahasken azurpa janjakala kogi anaruwa janjakala kogi anahadari ragu Suna da kyo dalabia kogi mai ki mora guna ai king Allah Duba usa darabi duga ye jiawa Duba duga ye zusaye Pararengi daje Kogi Ya wankesu Kusada teku Dawak arso yaya Kogi Aikim Allah Har abada Yawan kesu kusada teku I can Allah.
Well, beautiful singing there from Zozo Shuaibu of La Mer. And I feel embarrassed about this. I want to play another one of... I want to finish really with one of my adaptions of Alfie's poems. This is partly because I want to finish up with Alfie in music as in life. But it's because this is a kind of affectionate... Worship is a song she wrote. And it's a kind of affectionate picture of a couple of nuns. Reminded of La Mer because she saw two nuns standing by the sea as the sun set. And it was a very affectionate picture of these two nuns. And now I have a Catholic daughter-in-law. I must learn to be more tolerant and not so instinctively hostile to everything to do with the church and the Catholic Church, even though I really don't like the Pope at all. But there are some very nice nuns, I'm sure. I know I've met some. And I think these two nuns... it's not their fault, the problems of the Catholic Church. We watched them and they inspired this, I think, a wonderful little poem from Alfie. And so this is this song is for Alfie and for the two nuns.
Sings like a child. signal from the seagull that he understands
the sun sets on this program for the listeners of Radio Popular. I hope it's okay for you, this music I've been playing. This is Robert Wyatt saying thank you very much for your attention. Radio Popular has just presented a program by Robert Wyatt, third part.